your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
Well, welcome everybody to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super thrilled, excited to have Chris, and I'm going to try it for the first time, Noggle.
You got it, man. You nailed it.
Love it. Love it. Right. Flew into it, right? Amazing. Chris Noggle on the show. I'm super excited to connect deeply, brother, from pro snowboarder, the money mogul, you know, money mentor, you know, you're doing a lot of cool things. And I'm excited for this because I definitely know that I can learn a few things about, you know, finances and, you know, how to really step into that. I'm really excited. You got lots of gifts. I'm super pumped. So, brother, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. As I mentioned briefly before you jumped in, you know, our time is our most precious resource. And, you know, it's really a gift to connect with you. Like I said, I'm really excited to learn a lot from you. Just welcome, brother. Coming in from? Where are you located, bro?
Well, it's my honor, my pleasure to be on here. And I'm coming from Buffalo, New York. Not quite as nice as Tulum, because I know Tulum quite well. But hey, we're going to pretend for a little bit.
I love it, brother. Well, thank you again, man. You know, what I know, and I know that the introduction I give was really brief, but I know you're up to a lot of really empowering and beautiful things. What are some of the key things that you're up to in the world right now, and maybe some of the projects that you're developing?
Yeah, you know, the simple thing that I do is actually at the core, I help people solve their money problems by putting them back in control of their money. And In doing that, it's really just resetting our mindsets, because our whole lives we're taught how money works. And most of what we're taught about money is a complete lie. So I've been on this mission and I've had a lot of success. I mean, I've had a lot of failures, let's put it that way first, but I've also through my failures had a lot of success. And, you know, what I do today is really, I'm on a mission just to go out there and teach people how money works, what the wealthy do with money that nobody else will teach them, because there's really no money in it to teach the certain basic fundamentals. And how I'm really doing it is through lots of sources, podcasts. And, you know, I've got my own show, the Chris Noggle Show, and the Real Estate Money School podcast. So we've got those two. The Chris Noggle Show is brand new. It's being launched by a really big group that is on YouTube. And what we're really going to focus around is professional athletes, primarily because my background, professional snowboarders, skateboarders, surfers, motocross, even getting into some of like, you know, the rally racers and everything else. But that show is really just going to be a discussion of where people were, where they are now, and how they've done it money-wise and the different struggles they've had. And then we're going to basically help kind of guide them the right way, because one of the big problems out there is, you know, in the athlete space or really anyone's space is, you know, we've been giving up control of our money to banks, to Wall Street and everybody else. And because of that, we're never in control. So therefore we ride these crazy roller coaster rides and we never ever seem to get where we want to be, because it just seems like every time we're almost there, something happens and knocks us back down. And I hate to say it, but that's by design. So those are some of the things I'm up to, and there's a lot more, but that's the basis of it.
Wow, brother. It was super fascinating, first of all, and I think that that's really important, especially in this new changes in what's happening in the world, you know, with cryptocurrency and, you know, the transition of wealth, you know, from the baby boomers to you know, the next generations. And I think that it's really exciting to know that there's this education out there. I think more people need to know about it. But I also think that it's important for us to, you know, maybe go a little bit deeper. You talked a little about like athletes and maybe people that, you know, think that they need to do something for a living, maybe rather for a passion. And I'm just curious to know, is something, you know, because, and again, this is from my own perception. When I went to university, or when I worked in the oil field or sold cars or, you know, whatever else I did, because I did so much. like I did it all for money. You know, I didn't do it because I was like excited or like this was a passion or like. So what would you say? And to first of all, anybody that's out there right now and like really looking to like dive into their passions and like how to make money from that. And is it possible, you know, things like this? What would you say to somebody that's new and just learning about these things right now?
Oh man, I got a lot to say about that. See, I grew up in a lower middle class family. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom raised me. It was a massive struggle. Tiny little 700 square foot house, two bedrooms. And when I was growing up, the one thing I knew, we didn't have resources. So if I wanted a BMX or a skateboard, I couldn't just say, "Mom, can you buy me a skateboard?" There was always a process. I always had to first envision it, dream it. And then I actually got so good at this as a young kid, whether it was a skateboard, a BMX, a dirt bike, I would literally envision and dream about this thing. I would watch magazines, back then it was VHS tapes of my favorite, you know, athletes or people doing this. And then I would draw it. And I did this over and over, and I would actually envision myself in the act of doing this thing that I was drawing. And, you know, yeah, that sounds, you know, weird because like dreams, you know, whatever, most dreams die on the vine. But what I then did is I would start to learn, if I really wanted something, how would I reverse engineer and get it? Now, my mom taught me, it was a little box that I had. It was a little black box with a slide top. It was wood. And I'd work at the farm across the street, or I would, you know, mow lawns around the neighborhood, and I'd put money in that. And I never really counted the money. I would just save it. And my mom would just then, we'd identify what I wanted. And when I got enough, she would say, "You've saved enough for it." So I got in the habit of doing this, but it was very small little things. Too many people, you know, they want something and they want it right now. But building wealth is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Just like life is not a sprint. And if you're sprinting through life, shame on you. Like, you're missing so much. You got to sometimes just realize that things take time. They're going to happen when they're going to happen. And they're only going to happen when you continually focus on those things. So I think some of the biggest things that I like to talk about is, you know, if we were to look at the big problems, you know, why is it that if I took 100 20-year-olds and I asked them, "Are you going to be successful when you retire or when you're 65? The answer is undoubtedly yes, 100%. All of them will say, "I'm going to be successful." But now if we fast forward to when they're 65 or when they're retiring, statistically, by Social Security's numbers, only 5 of those 100 eager and optimistic 20-year-olds are successful. So why is it that 95% or 95 out of 100 people are not successful financially? It comes down to a simple thing, and Earl Nightingale said it best. It comes down to the 5, or the 5%, if you will, have learned to create. They've created something. They've created their financial futures, their destiny, by staying focused, by doing things consistently and persistently, and by never allowing other people to tell them how to do what they want to do. The 95, what happened to them? Simple. They conformed. They conformed to other people's ideologies. When things got tough, they started listening to all their circle of, you know, people that they were around, which we were usually bringing them down. My life, I'm really telling you my story without telling you my story. I had so many people in my life that tried dragging me down, that tried keeping me at those levels. And it worked. There were certain points of time where I'm just like, "Yeah, you're right. Why am I doing this? Why am I working so hard? Why do I keep pushing for this dream that probably will never happen?" Because I was listening to them. But then all of a sudden something would happen and snap. And I'd be thinking to myself, I'm conforming to their idea, to their life, to what they have only done. They did not live my perfect day. And if I keep staying around them and keep in this circle, I'm never going to get past this point. And that is the difference between success and failure in the grandest scheme, in the grandest way of looking at it, is creation versus conformity. So I think that's a huge problem. And it all comes down to how we envision what we want and then just staying focused and true to it. But there's a lot more to unpack on that. But I think that's a really high level to start the conversation.
Yeah, brother, I appreciate that. And I think that, you know, sharing some of your insights is really the most beautiful way, because the narrative, of course, is the best way for everybody to like relate to it and resonate. And, you know, this is something that, you know, I always ask, right? Because it's so important for us to decide or make a decision, right? Because, you know, our greatest power, our highest power, our greatest source of intelligence, infinite intelligence, whatever you want to call God, gave us free will, right? And this free will, it's a beautiful thing. And we always decide, do we want to step into this resilient mentality, you know, that is going to dictate our experience, our X factor, that's going to allow us to contribute to our biggest and greatest purpose, our why. And so today, is there something in your life that you can go back, and maybe there's multiple, and I'm sure there is, that you can go and say, wow, this experience, this has given me my X factor that is allowing me to really step into my purpose. And this is
why. Yeah. Yeah. So there's several of them. And I'd like to just kind of high level hit on just a couple of these things that really changed the dynamic. First one was, I was 16 years old. At 16, I'd worked on farms and I got a real, you know, real job. I was working at a restaurant. And I remember every day I'd go in, the owner of the restaurant would make me feel like I was completely worthless. I could do nothing right. If I went into the cooler to get what he asked, I always had the wrong thing. And I got to the point where I was so depressed. I just felt worthless. And I'll never forget, there was a pivotal day I came in and he launched right into me and something snapped inside me. Now I'm a 16-year-old boy. That's it, right? And I said to him, I looked right at him and I said, I quit. That very moment when I did that was the moment when I stopped trading hours for dollars. I came home and I thought my mom was going to be mad. And I said, Mom, I just quit and I want to start my own company in the basement. Now, prior to this, I'd been printing t-shirts with my art teacher, Mr. Mahalski. Cool. You know, we'd just print the t-shirts after school and I loved it. Okay. And I thought, I got this idea that the only dream I had at this point at 16 is I wanted to be a professional snowboarder. I had watched every video. I read every magazine, my idols, the you know, big guys in the industry. That's all I wanted. I wanted that life. But to get to that life, you got to have a little bit of money to get to the hill, to buy the snowboard, to travel. But I didn't have that. So all I needed in my mind was to create a company selling t-shirts and hats that would provide just enough money to get me where I needed to be with snowboarding. And that's what Fat Clothing Company at 16 years old became for me. It wasn't, I was trying to get rich. I was thinking I was going to build this big clothing brand. I just needed money. So I've made t-shirts with Mr. Mahalski. I sold them out of my backpack. I started taking them with me when I was traveling to snowboard contests. And every snowboard contest had sponsors, like this one sponsored by Urban Snowboard Shop. So I would go to Urban or I'd go to one of those shops and I would pitch my clothes. And I'd say, hey, can I put these in here and sell them on consignment? And they would sell well. And then I'd bring more and then they'd want to just buy them to make more. So I did this. And I, after, this is a crazy story. Like after a year, a year, I had three seamstresses working for me, just friends, you know, around the, you know, like my mom's friends and that. And I had my clothing in a whole bunch of stores. And what I had seen created my next goal, right? I wanted to be a pro snowboarder. I never lost sight of that. But I watched all these shop owners and I looked at their lifestyles. Like they'd work in their store at their creation. They were always what seemed to be happy. And then they would go snowboard or skate or surf or whatever. I needed that. So I got my next idea was I wanted to open Fat Man Board Shops, a skateboard snowboard shop. And this idea resulted in me having to come up with money. I had to raise 70,000 bucks. Now I'm 17. I had no idea how to raise 70 grand. So I went around to everybody in my family and I heard, no, absolutely not. No way. You're a crazy kid. My father saying, you know, come work at Delphi or back then it was Harrison Radiator with me. I'll get you a job. And it resulted in me mailing my father a cassette of Cats in the Cradle. And I cry every time I listen to that song still to this day. And, but anyway, the dream almost died. Cause you can only hear no enough times before you're just like, yeah, you know, maybe I am just crazy thinking this. My mom saw this. Now in the divorce, my mom got the house and it had about 75,000 worth of equity at that time. Not a lot, but just enough. And one of the banks had told me, he said, we'll give you this loan if you will collateralize it with something. And to me, I didn't even know what collateral was. I'm 17 years old. I'm a snowboarder. And I had a 86 Buick. I had a dirt bike and I had a baseball card collection. They're like, no, kid, we're thinking something a little more than that. So my mom, as crazy as this was, put her house on the line so that I could chase my dreams. And that's how Fat Man Board Shop opened in November of 1994. I'll never forget. We opened right before Christmas. We had good success. 5 years, my mom's house was on the line. So can you imagine being 17 and knowing if you fail, your mother loses her house. Actually, you lose your house too, because I was living at home. So that's how it happened early. I had to grow up really quick. I had to not party as much. I had to focus on working 9 to 9 in my store. And then I started getting employees. So I was working maybe 9 to 6, but I was always in the store. And I did this and it was fantastic. I was living my dream. I ended up becoming a pro snowboarder. And then in the early 2000s, the planes hit the tower. Many people remember the 9/11. Well, the 9/11 was kind of not even followed, but it was the creation and the start of really what was the dot-com crash and the recession. I didn't know what a recession was, but all of a sudden I watched my sales in my stores go down, 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 down to the point where I was like, I can't do this. I can't make it. I'm going to lose this. So I had to get back into the workforce. So I was going to deliver pizzas with my friend Mike at Little Caesars. And then I put my resumes out because Little Caesars wouldn't hire me, as crazy as that was. Couldn't even get a damn job at Little Caesars. But I got calls from Wall Street. All these Wall Street firms kept calling me. So finally I interviewed, and I'll never forget the guy threw his keys for his Porsche down the boardroom table and said, this is what you can expect if you work here. And I'm like, I'm in. So a punk snowboard kid lands in Wall Street, and I thought it was going to be a temporary thing, but I loved it. And instead of giving up on the stores, I kept running the stores, but I had my friends, you know, who were working in the stores, and they started becoming the managers. And I was working in Wall Street while working on my business. And that was my first experience of making real money. You know, first year I made 70 grand, next year I made over 100. And then it just climbed to about 2008, I was crushing. I was one of the top three advisors, and I was getting I had a little bit of an ego, still snowboarding professionally, like still running the stores. And in 08, I bought a strip mall, like a dilapidated paint store. And I started converting it, borrowed a lot of money. And well, you know what happened in 08, the Great Recession hit. So my whole life was flipped upside down, and I was one payment away from being completely bankrupt. So I did what I've always done. I resorted to the last resort, which was my girlfriend who had just moved into my house. I said, sweetie, I need your help paying the mortgage and the utilities. And my two friends are going to move into the bedrooms in our house. Like, that was it. But she didn't leave. She stuck around. And that's how I made it through 08. And then, after that, I started buying real estate from 9 to 14, got up to 36 units. And then in 14, I lost it all. I made some bad decisions, got over leveraged, went to the bank, and I was borrowing in a personal name. And they said, nope, we can't give you any more. And by the way, because you don't fit in the little square box, we're going to freeze your lines of credit. And then that resulted in me kind of getting behind in mortgage payments. And then they called one of the mortgages, and I had to sell all 36 units, had to sell the dream house that me and that same girl, Larissa, had bought. And I spun to an all-time new low. And that was the moment. Sometimes when we hit the lowest points in our life, or when we're most willing to learn. But I fought the whole way, kicking and screaming down, like blaming everybody else. Like, it's, you know, I look at it and I sometimes don't even want to talk about it because it was just not my finest hour. It was the hour where everything that went wrong in my life, I pointed a finger. It was because of that. Now, the economy did this to me. That person stole the money from me. This contractor screwed me. It was all somebody else. When really what I had to realize at the very bottom, and I literally read a book by Dr. Phil. Don't fault me for reading a Dr. Phil book, but that book put it into perspective and said, you know, your problems are your problems. And all of a sudden I started saying, you know what? All these things, they might not have been results of something I did wrong, but they're all my problem and I got to handle them. And I got a postcard, and the postcard gave away a free iPod shuffle for going to this 3-day event. And I went because I wanted the iPod shuffle. They had to give me something to get me to go. And I met two people, Greg and Mike. And those two people were incredibly successful, incredibly wealthy real estate investors. And they started talking about money. Now, remember, I'm still an advisor at a very high level. Even though I'm failing, I'm still an advisor. They start talking about money. And everything they talked about when it came to money was the complete opposite of everything I've been taught. So I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Here's two really successful guys. That guy's got a show on A&E. This guy's the bank and lending money and doing all this crazy stuff being the bank. And here I am. I'm the Wall Street advisor, all the licenses, like managing tens of millions of dollars at that point. Like, but they're doing everything that I've never been taught. How can that be? Mm-hmm. So I dove in. And from that moment on, from 14 on, I started following around very successful, wealthy individuals at any cost, maxing credit cards out. And I started learning what the wealthy did with money. I started asking the right questions to these multimillionaires and sometimes billionaires. And I started piecing together the similarities between them. And that's how I've arrived where I'm at today. I literally have cracked the code to what the wealthy do. And the funniest thing is you would think that's really complicated. Oh, the wealthy must have these complicated algorithms and these really fancy like advisory strategies. Absolutely not. They literally changed one thing. That's all they did different. They changed one thing, and then they treated their money the same as they would treat the bank's money, but they became the bank by being in control of their money. And sorry, that's a long story, but that's the only way to unpack that.
I think there's a lot of depth there. And something that I really heard, and I'm going to kind of rewind a little bit because it was a constant thing that happened, is, you know, first of all, your mother really like supported, right? Like beautiful, like that, to have that availability of support, especially at such a young age, to know that, you know, your divine mother was there supporting you, looking after you and like backed you up. And then again, later, it was your beloved, your girlfriend, right? And it's always so important as men, you know, sometimes when we need like a little bit of help, how those powerful, beautiful beloveds that we have next to us, that those like feminine energies that we need, sometimes it's okay to lean on them and say, hey, you know, like it's, we're down, we're out. Like this gives this rise of this beautiful ability of how it's so important to come together in times of need. Because I think, and this is my hallucination, actually it's not my hallucination, because this is how I used to be when I was younger, is we think that we men need to have it all figured out, you know, and when there's a lot of pressure on us sometimes.
And I didn't have it all figured out, man. I'll tell you that. My mom was my unconditional one, but my mom had nothing to, she wasn't an entrepreneur. She wasn't successful. She didn't have money. But the one thing she was taught to do when she was a kid from her parents was to dream. And that's the biggest gift she ever gave me, is she taught me to dream. And she never, well, I shouldn't say never. There was times in 2014 where she was like, can't you just be satisfied? Why can't you just be happy? But anyway, but you know, she was always that guiding light that I call her the unconditional one. You know, she was, no matter what the conditions were, she was a supporter, whether she agreed with it or not. She never, ever tried to stifle my dreams or stand in the way of them. Everybody else did. My best friends, my father, everybody around me, except for my art teacher, my accounting teacher, and my mom, and several others.
Do you think that that's kind of nowadays changing? Because what I'm feeling and what I really believe in is like there's this intelligence inside of our heart that guides us towards our biggest manifestations. As long as we pay attention, we're always being guided by like a divine force that rests in that heartbeat that goes on for 101,000 times a day without us even thinking about it. And so the dream that we've actually been given resides there. And as long as we're following it with love and integrity, with compassion, desire, it's something that continues. And the reason I'm sharing this with you too is because I've noticed that shift in myself. So I used to be, you know, this marketer. I thought I was all about marketing, only to realize that it was a mask for the longest time in order to make money. So I did it to make money. Right, because what I really was passionate about was this elements of not living in our heads, but really defining lives based upon love, based upon our hearts, based upon what we really truly want to do in our lives, which is living the dream, living a dream, living our dream, whether that's being an artist, a dancer, a singer, you know, there's all bunch of different things. Because, you know, when I was younger, I wanted to be an actor. Like, how could I be an actor? I lived in Edmonton, Alberta. You know, I didn't live in the U.S. Like, where the fuck is Edmonton, Alberta, right? Like, things like this. And so my dreams, they kind of dwindled away because society for so long told me that I needed to be more realistic and I needed to make money. So I really think that now, as you know, this whole situation is changing, that as long, like, especially right now with COVID and all these things, there's so much going on, that these dreams that your mother had reminded you of, right? Like to stay focused, that she had come up with and like continues to portray, was a really big foundation for you to be where you are today. Would you agree with that?
100%. And I think, you know, you can really look at it. You know, I have a 14-month-old, but if you really look at children have no cap to their imagination. When you were a kid, when all of us were kids, like, we could be anything we wanted. If we wanted to believe we were going to go on a rocket ship to the moon, we'd go out with cardboard and put together a rocket ship. And literally in our minds, we were going to the moon. Our beliefs and our dreams were so real to us when we were kids. But then all of a sudden society, like you mentioned, I call it conformity, stepped in and started saying, that's a pipe dream, kid. That's not going to happen. Kind of like that movie. You're going to shoot your eye out, kid. You know, it's like so many times in our life, we've had these big dreams, and those dreams, those weren't just some fictitious thing. Those were what you're probably meant to do. And I always tell people now, you know, and yes, I've had success, but I've also had a lot of failure. And I will tell them the biggest turning point in my life, you can take this for what it's worth, was when I stopped doing things with the goal of making money. And when it all came in 14, like that 14 was a pivotal time. I had a mentor, Greg, who I paid $5,000 to go to his mastermind. And I was so out of place. It was so lost. I didn't have $5,000. I maxed the card out. And I remember sitting there and I finally got Greg's time. And he said to me, I said to him, Greg, I need some advice. I need your best advice you can give me. Puts his hand on my shoulder, leans into me. And he says, Chris, I'm going to give you the best advice I can give anyone. I said, yeah, Greg, give it to me. And he says, give your best stuff away for free. And I sat back and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I just spent $5,000. This is what I'm thinking. $5,000, dude, to come to this house. And that's the advice you give me? Give my best stuff away for free. Really? I'm going to make it by doing that. That's what I thought. This is what I know. When I started doing that and I started changing my focus to helping others get what they want. I mean, this, you've heard of it in the Bible and everywhere, and Zig Ziglar, they all say it, but we ignore it. We think, oh, that's just nothing. It's everything, folks. It's a universal law, no different than gravity. Go to the top of a building and jump off and try to change gravity. You won't. You'll be a pancake. The laws of the universe are identical in what you're talking about, whether it's dreams or feelings or chasing that one thing that you truly are passionate about, no matter whether it makes you money. Everybody that does that, that goes down that path with the intentions of solving somebody else's problem, giving is what I'm getting at. They're all wildly successful, but they didn't get success until they realized that one universal law. When they started helping other people, success followed them in massive ways, and it never stopped. It'd be like flying in an airplane with a perpetual tailwind. That's what happens, folks. When you focus on solving other people's problems and you stop focusing on solving your problems and boo-hoo you, and I got to do this because I got to make X. When you live that world, I did it as an advisor. I did it in everything I did when I was young. I did this to make this. It was always something attached to money. I'm going to do this because I'm going to make that. I'm going to recommend this product because I'm going to make this. That always led me on that roller coaster that you just heard me tell. I had money, then I lost it all. Then I had money again and I lost it all. You think that's coincidence, folks? That's not coincidence. It's exactly what will happen to every single person. You might get lucky, but eventually your luck will run out. Change your focus to helping other people. Change your focus to following your dream and make sure that dream solves somebody else's problem along the way, or you bring other people along and watch success follow you. Stop chasing money. Start learning how money works. That's a key. Start putting yourself back in control of your money and learn how to put that perpetual tailwind on your money, which is simple. Yeah, I'm not going to probably get too deep into what I teach and how I do it with money, but it's very simple. We all try to conform what we do or modify what we do to, you know, work in the environment that we're in. But if all we really did is just change the environment in which our money operates, like we all work for money, we trade hours for dollars for these stupid things so that we can then go out and exchange them for goods and services. But we put all this focus on the time we spend to make this $100. And then what do when we get it? We give up control of it. We put it in the bank. We put it in the 401k. We give it to somebody else. And then what else do we do? We spend it all. 90 cents of every dollar goes to somebody else. Your work, your money is operating in the wrong environment. An airplane, when you take off in an airplane and there's a big headwind, your plane is operating in the wrong environment. Doesn't matter how fast that plane is. It can't go any faster because of the headwind. If you just waited for that wind pattern to change and you then operated your plane with a tailwind, you'd get where you were going with a lot less effort, much faster. Money is no different, folks. We try to operate money in the wrong environment. Money is a tool. It's just a tool, the shovel in your garage. You don't go out in your garage and be like, man, that's a sexy shovel right there. I can't wait to actually see and use that shovel. No, that shovel becomes important when you need a hole. And when you need a hole, you don't think, you just grab the tool. Money is that tool. Money is nothing else than that tool. Learn how to operate the tool better. Learn how to make the tool operate in the right environment, and everything changes. But again, get back to the main thing. Everything will change only when you change your mindset around chasing your dreams and helping other people solve their problems and getting to their dream.
The best thing is, like, it's like energy. Money is energy. And if we exchange 100%. right energy with the right way, we're going to receive an abundance of that energy. And when we recognize that this abundance is given to us by sense of following our purpose, our passion, mm-hmm. our ability to show up in ways for others. And the reason, like, I believe in this so much, brother, is because I'm in this transition right now, right? Like, I'm in this massive transition right now where I'm letting go of this identity as a marketer and really jumping into this like presence of like heart intelligence and what that's able to give us and what that's able to give humanity. And so, yeah, I'm letting go of this like, there's never really security, but this thought process of security of what I believe to, and also like really letting go of like this vulnerability of me not really wanting to be, you know, this business or marketing guy. Like, I'm just not that guy. I fucking love people. And I want people to know how important it is to really go through these emotional intelligent experiences and really bypass the heart or bypass the mind by going right straight to the heart. And it sounds to me like this is something that you've done multiple different times, right? You've gone through these ebbs and flows, right? And you've experienced, and you've always ended up coming back to a place that serves others the most, which is
every single time.
Yes. And that to me is what the gift I believe needs to be really our mission, like as a community, as human beings, as entrepreneurs, as advice, whatever you want to call, like for our next generation. Because what if Chris, we were able to tell our children how they could follow their dreams from a young age and they all achieved it? What if the whole society actually believed that? And what if we told them that if we stayed, and this includes ourselves, if we stayed in our heart selves, we stayed in our playfulness, our little boy and girls, we actually lived longer?
Well, we would. There's no question.
100%.
No question.
Right?
No question. And that's the thing. So I have a 14-month-old, so I'm going to begin that. And we also have a program that we're doing, which again, we're spending an ungodly amount of time. My whole team's working on it. It's called Money's Cool. And it is a program, an education for kids to teach them the truth about money, how money works. But here's the thing. Like, I went into this thing with Money's Cool knowing from day one that I was going to give it away for free. I'm going to spend a ton of time and energy. Maybe we get some grants to develop, but we're going to create this thing. And you know what I'm going to do when it's all done? I'm going to give it to all the teachers that want to teach their kids. I'm going to give it to any school system. It will be 100% free. But you know, everybody would be like, well, that's stupid. Like, why wouldn't you try to monetize that? I probably, and I don't know how this will work, some way, somehow, by me doing that, what I just said, it all comes back. It just has to. And I don't, it's energy. Like you mentioned, I don't fully understand it all. And I don't need to understand it. Too many people spend too much time trying to understand why things happen the way they are. Stop trying to understand everything. Just start doing what you really, truly in your heart and your gut feel you should do. Stop using your mind so much. The mind sometimes leads us the wrong place. Use your gut. Follow your gut. When something doesn't feel right in your gut, it's not right. That's where it starts. It doesn't start in your mind. Yeah, maybe it starts in your heart, but it probably comes from your gut. But there's another thing that happened in my life that I never talk about on podcasts, but now we're on this topic. Let me just explain this little story. So when I finally knew this, after he had told me, give your best stuff away, and I had this knowledge, I knew what the wealthy did. I knew all this stuff. I'm thinking, I got to create something that I can make a living on. And at this point, I was hurting bad for money. I mean, I barely could make payroll. There was so many things going wrong in my life, money-wise. And I just kept thinking, I got to find a way to make money. I got to find a way to make money. And I was doing real estate, but there was just nothing seemed to be firing. And I remember then all of a sudden, all I did is I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start doing a live show every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And I'm going to call it the Wealth Webinar. And it's going to be free. And I remember I read a book, Russell, I forget his name. Anyway, Brunson. I almost said Branson. That's where I always screw up, Brunson. And I read his book and he did this. He started doing these lives, these webinars. And in just like he said, the first few, no one showed up, maybe one person, but I still went on with the show and I did this consistently every single week and never missed one. If I was in Mexico, I was down at Azul, I would still be doing this thing, even though like I didn't want to. I wanted to be out in the on the water. I wanted to be at the beach, but I would do the show. I've been doing it now for over 2 years. Hundreds of people come every single week. Zero sales pitch. It's totally free. I don't even care to make money with this thing. And you know what happened? You already know the answer. I've made so much money off of it. I can't even begin to point to why or how, but because I gave something to somebody that was so valuable, and it was my best stuff. I always pour my heart out. I gave them something so valuable that then they started following me. They got around what I call the campfire. And then anything that I did or that I was doing, they were there to support and they wanted to jump on. Whether it was, you know, me writing a book, they all jumped in line to buy the book. Or if I was doing a 3-day event and I was charging $197, they all wanted in on it. It wasn't because I did the event to make money. It was because I already had given people so much for so long that they just wanted more. And now all of a sudden, like they were willing and actually wanted to pay for it. Then I started learning, okay, well, some of this stuff, like if you just give everything away for free, people don't take it serious. So sometimes you just have to put a price tag to it. And how I figured it out, and this is because I'm so conscious of this whole thing that we're talking about. We figured out what our marketing costs would be to do this 3-day event, the first one we ever did. And we had 10 grand, I think is the marketing budget. So I said, well, how much do we have to charge? What's the least amount we can charge based on our projections of how many people will show up to break even? And we figured it out. And I think we missed it a little. We came out of pocket a bit, but I just kept doing that. Every time we did the event, I figured that out. How much do I need to charge and how many people do I need to break even? And then I just kept doing that because I didn't want it to be for money. But then when I did them, everybody that came on them got so much. All I'm trying to say is like, if you go to something because you truly love it, you know, like for me, money, like you might say, oh, it's cliche, whatever. But to me, money has like been my worst enemy because I used it wrong for most of my life. And now it has been my saving grace because I used the tool to solve other people's problems. And now I have lots of money, but I don't look at money the same way. I don't look at money. Oh, I got lots of money. I need to buy a bigger thing, this, that, and the other thing. No, I take the money and I roll it back in to help more people. And every time I do that, I make more money. It's the craziest thing. Like I just keep plowing it back in thinking, all right, let's move it all out there so we can help more people. And then all of a sudden more of it comes back. I'm like, damn, all right, move it back out. So all I'm trying to say is when you change that one thing and you change the environment in which your money works. And listen, like I said it earlier in the show, I'm gonna say it again. Money, what do the wealthy do different with money? They change one thing. And again, I'm not gonna get too deep into the one thing that they change, but it is that simple. They change one thing. They change the environment that their money starts in. They don't give up control. They operate under the same pretenses and the same methods that the banks do. So they become the bank and they move their money. Their money is always in a constant state of movement. That is the difference. And it's very difficult. Most people say that sounds too good to be true.
Sure, make it work for you.
It always has to be working for you. But when money's moving, when you're moving your money, it's always working for you. You make money, then you find a place to put that money where that money will work for you because too many people get stuck in the rat race of trading hours for dollars. I need more money, so I'm going to work more hours. I need more money. I just need to find a higher paying job. It's still all, you're never going to get where you want to be because you're always operating in an environment where you're capped. There's always a cap to what you're going to be able to make if you're thinking that you have to trade hours for dollars. And I'm not just talking about W-2 employees. I'm talking business owners. They're the worst. They create a business and then they get stuck in a job that they've created that they don't like because they can't get out of their own job created by them.
That would happen for me with marketing.
Me too, man. Me too. It's happened to all of us. And every entrepreneur has to go through this journey before they realize it. But then what the wealthy started doing, and it's been talked about by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they started realizing that if I can only work so much to make so much money, then I need to then start making my money work for me. And they found ways to make their money work for them by using basic, simple strategies that were being done by the banks. And they just mimic them. If the banks are so smart with money and have done the research, why recreate the wheel? Just hop on and mimic what the bank does, but do it in your environment, not their environment. Because in their environment, they always win. Matter of fact, banks make 400 to 1300% more than you do on every dollar you leave there. Who's winning in that equation? The bank. It's in their environment. Change the environment. And then everything changes. And then you add that perpetual tailwind behind your money, just like we talked about with the plane. Way too passionate about this stuff, but it all comes back to that single thing we were talking about.
Bro, I think that what you're sharing is super important, and I'd love to know how people can actually find out more, because you talked about, you know, these programs that you've got. But before you share, you mentioned something about gut. I want to just help you understand one thing, because it's something that I'm deeply passionate about. The intelligence in our heart is the breath of life that we actually get. So if we literally hold our hearts and we are listening to the intelligent, that like the heartbeat, genuinely the heartbeat, and we ask it a question and we sit there in silence and we breathe into our hearts through our nose for 6 seconds and out, your body, your hara, or your gut, and your, like what you shared, will then give you the intuitive wisdom that you're actually seeking. So, and then you will amplify it through your mind.
Eric, like, there's just something profound about that, because, and I'd even ask your audience, like, how many of you have ever had that moment where you're clear, you're just flowing, you're doing something that you're passionate about and you love. You're not doing it for any reason other than you love doing it. And things flow through you. You say things in such a smooth, concise, understandable way that when you're done, you're just like, where did that just come from?
And that
happens to me all the time. But I will tell you that never, ever, ever happened to me in my former life. Never. Yeah. It was always a challenge. Nothing ever flowed. It was always work. Things flow through me now. Sometimes I might be really smart with money, but sometimes there's just way more to it than that. And I truly, in the heart of hearts and in mind of minds, believe that the things I'm doing today are much bigger than me. And the knowledge that's flowing through me that I'm teaching people isn't coming just from me. Take that for what it's worth. But that is the only answer I can tell people sometimes. How did you learn all this? Man, I don't know. It just flows through me.
Bro, you get into your flow state, and it actually, because you're so passionate about it, it comes from your heart. It actually releases, like, the science behind it is like dopamine, non-norepinephrine, sure, all these things. And it shuts off the prefrontal cortex that actually takes out the inner critic. So you don't even know where you're at. You're just flowing. And that, my friend, is why you're so intelligent with it, because you're coming from such a place of love. You're coming from such a place of service. You're coming from such a place of heart wisdom. And that, to me, bro, is like why you're here to serve, right? Why you've come to this planet, right? Why you're here. So, like, thank you for being this, like, passionate, exciting, beautiful man that just wants to give and wants to help people, because, you know, God knows that I could have used your help. And I still probably could use tons of it. You know, I actually, it's not probably, there's a for sure there. And I'm really looking forward to, like, stay in contact and really stay connected. But before anything, because I want to make sure that our audience, or everybody, anybody that's listening live or later, how can they get a best, like, you know, best, first of all, how can they connect with you? And second of all, how can they find out more about your programs or any of the things that you've got coming up?
It's so easy. Remember that one thing I kept talking about, you got to learn that. So it's all free. Go to my website, chrisnoggle.com, and find the 90-minute video. It should pop right up, but otherwise it's under free resources. In 2014, one of those wealthy individuals, Mike, the one I was talking about, made me watch a 90-minute video, and I didn't want to watch it. I said, no, I don't have 90 minutes. That 90-minute video is what taught me what I have been teaching for years. But I'll, you know, and I know sometimes people need motivation, because remember I said somebody had to give me a free iPod shuffle in order for me to go to that seminar. And if I didn't go to that seminar, I wouldn't have met Mike and Greg. So I believe in giving things away for free. So I'm going to give your audience this brand new booklet that I just created, and they can get all my books, Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery. But how about we just do this one, because it's fun. Drifting Away from Traditional Car Buying, How to Keep Both Your Car and Your Finances in the Fast Lane. You can get this book for free. Just go to my website and just click on it. We'll give it to you for free. And that book will teach you this one thing. It will teach you how to get all the money back for every single car you will ever buy, drive, and own. And it just involves changing one thing. So grab the book, watch the 90-minute video, and just go to chrisnoggle.com. It's all free. There is no catch.
Bless your heart, brother. Thank you kindly for these gifts. I'm sure everybody, I'm definitely going to go on there and check it. Make sure to follow Chris on Instagram or Facebook, everywhere he's at online. And last question before you go, brother. If you had 3 days left to live, What would you do?
Wow. If I had 3 days left to live, I'd spend one day going around to all the people that I failed to tell them I love them enough. I would spend one full day sourcing as many people as I could just to go to them and say, I don't have much time. I just want you to know I love you and I appreciate you and everything you've done. The second day, I would probably grab my family, my mother, my daughter, my wife, and I would go to a beautiful place. And I don't know, I'd probably get a private jet to save on time because time is our most valuable asset. And I probably Tulum would be a nice place. And I would spend one day just looking at the beauty of this world. And the last day, I would probably spend the entire day trying to provide as much value on what I've learned in my time here. And I'd let everybody know this is my, and this is what I would say, this is my last day on this earth. So what I'm going to tell you is coming from a place of purity, because if I go to the grave and I don't say this, and I don't teach at least some of you this, I will go to the grave unfulfilled. So I'm going to get this off my chest in my final day on earth. And then I'd go to a better place.
Bless your heart, brother. Thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, for your grace. I appreciate you and all that you do, man. I'm super humbled. Let's stay connected, bro. Bless your heart, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much.